Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hi, this is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physically fit. Hello, everybody out there. The weather is becoming warm. I don't know about where you're at, but it's about 90 degrees here in what we call the DMV area, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia area. It is hot and sunny, and people still want to exercise, but then because of the hot weather, you stop exercising. Well, we got a couple of questions for you right after this dynamic speaker, but first I want to say to you, I have a cold. Life is full of excuses. Do you have an excuse? Is it because of hot weather now you decide not to exercise? But physical activity should be an essential part of our life, just like getting up and brushing your teeth and saying your prayers. Being fit will help you stay young on the inside and outside. It can help you breeze through the next few decades by feeling strong and healthy. So right after this little brief little message, we're going to go to our speaker, Jamal Piper, in just a few minutes. That's him running into the studio now. We're going to go over here to Jamal. He's probably running into the studio. Jamal, this is Renee Wiggins. Was that you running into the studio?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, you like my little thing.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I gave everybody a short little bio about you, but tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I'm a certified personal trainer based in Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm a mobile trainer. I'm private, so in most instances, I travel to my clients' homes, jobs, especially this time of year. I can meet outside with people. I do small groups, one-on-one. Also do work with middle school students. And after school program, we're doing food and fitness. I've done and do things with corporations, you know, helping them with, you know, wellness programs that they're trying to incorporate at their workplace. I've had experience working with special needs, seniors, athletes, a broad group of people. Really like to focus on strength training and conditioning with all of my clients, and that's pretty much my specialty there. And adapting those different programs to meet their needs.
Wow, you cover everything from, I want to say, 2 to 92. Everybody out there and the special needs crew. Wow, that is good because, as I mentioned, we all need exercise to maintain good health throughout our entire life cycle, and it is very important. But let's talk about first about the weather here. Some people stop because of the hot weather. Should we still continue during the hot weather, and what should we do prevent heat exhaustion?
Yeah, of course, it should be something to be mindful of all year long. But there are more concerns with the heat, and especially in an area like DC where you have four seasons, it's easy to get adapt to the season and potentially not stay as hydrated when the weather changes. So, yeah, it definitely we need to be more conscious of staying hydrated, during this time of year, because water is needed for good health. Water maintains your body temperature, rules weight. It's good for your joints. Makes up more than half of our body weight. So when we go to the bathroom, sweat, freeze, you're losing water. And so I know sometimes when it's warm, you easily get dehydrated. You have to dry mouth, get a little tired, even kind of have headaches or dizziness. So it's very important to stay hydrated. And if you're outside doing any activity, even just at the park with your family, or outside at an event, you know, the sweat and the heat, you're losing water. So that's definitely important with the weather changing and becoming warmer to be mindful of that.
So it's okay then to drink water while you're exercising, because years ago they said don't do it, but now they said you can at least take sips. Is that true?
Yes, yes. And I know from personal experience that works for me. Just enough sips to just stay hydrated during physical activity, but not guzzle a large amount of water at one time.
That is true, and especially you should exercise in the early morning or the late afternoon, because it is cooler than to exercise during the heat time. Now, but what about clothing? Should we wear or don't go without shirts or wear very little when it's hot, or should we wear some clothes?
I would say be comfortable. I wouldn't recommend wearing too much because you can potentially overheat. So wear something that's comfortable, knowing that your body temperature may increase with the temperature if you're doing any activity, especially outdoors. But even not, you're going inside air conditioned, back outside, just back and forth. You get back in your car, it's hot. You know, you can sit in your car, start sweating before the AC gets pumping, or you put the windows down. So just dress comfortably. That would be my recommendation.
So wear some light-colored clothing, something that, like cotton, that absorbs the water, because, like you said, if you don't wear anything, water evaporates very quickly, and like you said, going to the bathroom, you sweat, you're losing a lot of water. How many cups or glasses of water should we drink when we exercise? Should we drink more than if we don't exercise?
Well, it depends on the intensity of the exercise. You know, a lot of general consensus is like a gallon a day. I know if you have an intense exercise session, it will be more than that, because you'll have water during your workout or at the end of your workout. And then even after you wind down after physical activity, you still need to continue to be hydrated because your body's recovering from the workout. So you definitely need to make sure you consume a lot of water.
True. We definitely do that. The clothing, the water, especially during the hot summer months. Now, what about the ages, like seniors? Because you said you work with seniors too. You know, people like me who are over over 60. Should we exercise too?
Yes. I'm a firm believer as long as you're blessed to move your body, you should be doing some form of exercise. And the combination of cardiovascular exercise, stretching, and strength training, regardless of age. I think tends to happen sometimes with seniors is, you know, they start to lose muscle, start to lose, you know, some strength and flexibility. So as all of us age, it's very important, the stretching component, before and after physical activity, before running, before any type of strength training to really stretch. But, you know, a lot of times people mix up, like, when you say muscle or strength, like trying to be a bodybuilder, but you need muscles to function. You pick up bags of groceries, you're using muscles. When you sit down and stand up, you're using muscles. You open a car door, you know, you're using muscles. So just daily activities require muscle strength and endurance. So obviously you need to adapt to whatever the person's physical limitations may be. But, you know, I've worked with stroke, people recovering from a stroke, breast cancer survivors, seniors who, you know, have ailments. And can, you know, sometimes, you know, just getting up and down is a struggle. And even sometimes after a week, I'm not as tired walking up the steps. I mean, even times with people who've had to do a lot of things seated and then just do some things standing and work our way up from there. Just the increase in strength has allowed them to just function throughout the day better.
Wow. So with our seniors out there, for my listeners, it doesn't matter what age. You said strength training helps build up the muscle and bone density, because we need, especially seniors, our bones to start looking like sponges. And so we need that strength training, the cardio, because of the heart, like you said, just to get to and from car, getting up and walk around, doing some daily activities, we still need to continue. And I even heard that even if a senior start late, they still can build up muscle mass and bone mass to where they will look like the 30-year-old, where it still has some good, I want to say, compact bones and some compact muscles. Now, with the senior women, you know, you work with women too. Are there different form of exercise for the senior women versus the men?
No, I haven't. It usually, regardless of gender, it just depends on where the person is at that point. I mean, I'm a big proponent of, you know, start with the basics. You know, body weight squats. You know, push-ups, even if they were there on their knees, doing abbreviated versions. You know, lateral pull-downs or pulls with bands, or if you have access to assisted pull-up machine, you know, push, pull, squat, shoulder press. You know, those basic exercises, things you do every day. Squat, you sit up, you stand up, basically. You know, push, you know, you'll push a chair across the room. You'll push a table out of the way. You know, you'll push a grocery cart. You'll pull a door open. You'll put something on top of a shelf. So those exercises are examples of everyday functions that we do without even realizing it. And that's why those start with those foundational type movements. And then, you know, as someone progresses, you can get more advanced, add some resistance. Add different other, you know, add some other exercises, but deadlift too, like you just basically like going down, like you're touching your toes and coming back up. Light dumbbells, even with your body weight, you still, the hamstrings, your glutes, your lower back, your core. So that doesn't really matter if it's a man or a woman. It just for me as a trainer, it's about just adapting to where they are. And we know, I can see where we're starting, and just each week, each month, see and feel progress.
Oh, good. I like the way how you describe it, the push and pull, pull the door towards you, push the grocery cart, because for some people, it is exhausting for them, you know, to push, just to move about, because I see them in the grocery stores where they got to stop, go. Because even that little movement is so strenuous to them. And we need that constantly all the time, because if they sit down all the time, they lose a lot of bone mass, a lot of calcium. Now, what about the benefits of exercise and energy? Because as a former personal trainer, I was training people that would come to me, and these young ladies were half my age. Well, can't we do this sitting down? Well, why can't we do this sitting down? And so I had to devise a plan for them, and they thought they were getting away being easy, but in fact, I made it harder. So, do you believe in exercising from a chair?
Oh yeah, I do. I'm bigger on it when the person's either conditioning or physical limitations require them to be seated, or just their level conditioning. The benefit of doing as many things possible on your feet is your core is engaged. And just being on your feet, you just having the stability to stabilize yourself. Even on your knees sometimes, you know, you have to engage your core and your glutes and your hamstrings to stay upright as you're doing the exercise, like even shoulder flies, just bringing weights to the side of your body and down, even just 5 pounds, 3 pounds. But the fact that you're, like I said, you're engaging your core and you don't want to just slump, that you're using other muscles without them realizing it. So, and I've done routines whenever I had a group of seniors, and the majority of the workout was in the chair, and they were sweating, they were tired. and even myself, there's a few exercises I do see. You know, some of the only ones you do, like a bench press, you have to be, you know, on your back, or
right.
You know, a lot of chest exercises, you're seated or laying down. So, yes, I mean, there are a lot of exercises that are strenuous that you're not standing on your feet. But the ones that have an option, and especially, you know, even with relatively beginner or advanced, I like to have them on their feet as much as I possibly can, if they're able.
Okay, good, because you're saying that the core muscles, for my listeners is around the abdominal muscles there, because as you say, it activates when you stand up as opposed to just sitting down, because people then have a tendency to slouch or let those muscles go out, and that is true. That is true. Now, travel to and from places, you know, other. So do you bring equipment with you, or the person has it in the home?
It's been a combination. You know, when I work with clients initially, I ask them, what do they have at home? Sometimes they have things, and then it's less for me to bring. But let's say, for example, they don't have anything. I have resistance bands, kettlebells, dumbbells, and a mat, and usually that's sufficient. Because a lot of times with resistance bands, you can simulate a lot of exercise in the gym.
Because I work those bands. Yeah, you got to modify. So therefore, you make it more intense because you limit it on the amount of equipment you have. You probably stay somewhere in a certain region a little bit longer than if you did have that equipment.
In some instances, yes. Fortunately, like the bands I like to use, I have several, and they're different levels of resistance, and I can even combine two or three to the handles. So I can make one movement very difficult that they feel like they're lifting a lot of dumbbells or weight. The things with bands is you feel on the positive and the negative. So, for example, if you pushing something with a band, you feel it pushing out and coming back in. That's a little bit of the difference with the band. But, you know, people have said to me, like, wow, that small little bag, and, you know, I had this workout, well, that's all you brought, you know, between the bands and their body weight, you know. So they, it's a little different from weights, but they do add resistance. And so that's the, that's the key thing, is to, you know, we're having resistance training, and there's a lot of ways that you can do that.
So you have like a little doctor's bag of your goodies, and they're coming in like, oh, it's going to be an easy workout, and when you leave, they're exhausted.
Right.
They're exhausted because they don't know that we have all this in our mind going and everything. So what can you tell my listeners if they can't get that big exercise equipment from home? You mentioned the exercise bands. What else can they get that they can have at home to really now start their exercise tomorrow? We said the bands. What else?
The bands, dumbbells and or kettlebells.
Okay.
And
describe the kettlebells to my listeners, because I don't think maybe they know what the kettlebell looks like or what it is.
Yeah, the kettlebell is literally a ball, like a miniature bowling ball, and they vary in weight. So they were wide, you can get them 5 pounds up to 80, 90 pounds, wide range of weight in kettlebells, and they have a handle on the top. And usually, you know, you only hold one kettlebell at a time in your hand. And they have some two-handed exercises, but you get a close grip. But they provide a lot of options and the things you can do with kettlebells. You have kettlebell swing, which is like resistance cardio, but definitely get some instructions before you start doing kettlebell swing. But you can simulate one-arm rows, one-arm pulls, pushes, like chest presses, shoulder presses, upright rows for your shoulders and so forth. But again, like I said, if you get a kettlebell, definitely get some instruction on the ways you can use them, because you'll be amazed how you can have a full body workout with just one small piece of weight. You know, dumbbells are pretty, most people know what dumbbells are. You know, just start with a weight you feel you can handle. But I definitely am a proponent of the resistance bands because as you become more advanced in your working out and your training, your strength conditioning increases. The bands don't take up a lot of space. They're not costly. And as your conditioning and your exercise regimen evolves, you know, the bands will be sufficient. Well, dumbbells, you have to keep adding to your dumbbells. I bought these 12 pounds. Wow, they're getting too easy. I need to go buy 20 pounds. I need to go buy 30 pounds. With a kettlebell and the bands, that won't be the case as much. But I would say bands, a mat, kettle, and or dumbbells are three key things. You can have a great workout at home. And like the bands, you can take with you on travel, do it in the hotel room, or if you're staying with family, and you know, squeeze in the corner of your suitcase.
Right, the bands you can carry anywhere. They come in different colors: pink, green, and blue, or pink, green, and purple being the strongest. And then there's silver. So for my listeners out there, you can get these bands at any Sports Authority store, and then as you said, the other ones as well. So that way they get a variety of workout. Now, should they do the weights every day, or they should do the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or should they just do Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday? How should they do their weight training program should be?
I recommend 3 or 4 days a week with resting certain body parts in between each other. So, for example, if you do legs on Monday, don't do them again until Friday. If you do, you know, chest and your arms on Tuesday, and then wait a couple of days and then do your back. Basically, you know, you want 48 hours of rest between the body parts you're training. You know, some people like to do the full upper body one day, the leg the next day, you know, back to upper body 2 days later. I mean, there's so many ways you can split it, but one principle that means that was consistent, people very successful and diligent with their program, is giving sufficient rest for the body part. You can weight train 5-6 days, but the people that do that split it up. So however many days, I would recommend at least 3 days of strength training. And then you can do circuit training, which is doing 3, 4, 5 exercises in a row that are strength exercises that serves as cardio as well, if time is of the essence. Because some people feel, oh, if I'm doing strength training, I don't have time for cardio. Well, you can use strength training as cardio and knock them all out together. Give the body part, the trainer, focusing on that day, at least 48 hours of rest.
So you need rest, because when we're doing weight training, for my listeners out there, you're actually tearing down the muscle and you're building the muscle back up. So that's how you build muscle, so you got to rest. So if you, like you say, you do chest and back on Monday, rest, you say start to do it again on Wednesday. So it'd be like upper body one day, lower body the next, upper body lower. Or have your what they call push and pull days or light and easy days, right? That's really good. So what about the kids now? We talked about the seniors, and you said you work with children and teens. Do you involve them in weight training too, or is it just mostly cardio?
I work with the middle school is the age group I've worked with the most, and maybe some high school. Some weight, more introducing them to the weights, more so cardiovascular and body weight exercise. So push-ups and squats, pull-ups, dips. Just have to be careful with that age group as they're still developing. That they're at the age, they can do some weight training, but just have to find a balance to play it safe. But most of the time, it's cardio and body weight exercises to serve as resistance. And then, you know, I just have instructional, like this is what this machine, this is what this exercise is for. Just with my time, then to be more instructional.
Okay, so for my listeners out there, if you want your kids to get involved, do a lot of like kickball, volleyball, badminton games, like I did when we were growing up. We did a lot of those, or kick, touch football, kick, run, and all those different games. We need to bring them back and get kids more involved in doing that cardio. And like you said, the push-ups, sit-ups, squats, those are all working with the body. And the parents should get involved with them, too, especially now that we got family reunions coming up. We have just get-together and barbecues. It doesn't always have to be sitting around eating, listeners. Get out there and have some fun games, too, as well. Do you agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we should do. So what is on the horizon for you? You got any videos coming out, Jamal? You have any DVDs or what, you know, book coming out? What you have on the horizon?
Well, I recently filmed a DVD for children that's in development stages. So my Twitter is my name, Jamal Piper, J-A-M-A-A-L, Piper, and my Instagram. So when that closer to being released, I definitely will let people know on social media. My website is PiperPersonalTraining.com, and my phone number is 202-409-8674, and I blog once or twice a month, and that can be on my website. It's a link for my blog, and again, my Twitter and Instagram, when I release a blog or article, I'll post it on there as well, and a lot of nutritional and training tips and trends. You know, sometimes I'll just have an opinion on things people see, observations, advice, encouragement. You know, that's on the blog.
Wow, you really are doing a lot. But give everybody your website one more time.
PiperPersonalTrainingAltogether.com.
Well, for my listeners out there, especially you ladies, you need to, you see the picture, he got the muscles out there, and he can help you get back and be physically and spiritually and mentally fit with the mind as well as the body from the inside out, listeners. So even if it's summertime, start that program. If you started in January, get back on it and exercise. And Jamal said you can exercise during the summer, but early morning or late evening, wear the proper clothing to go exercise, and always, you know, go in pairs if you're going running or doing something else. And he said get that plenty of hydration, that fluid into your system. And then you, like you said, you got a DVD coming on the horizon, then hopefully a book and everywhere. I really appreciate you coming here today and telling everybody that exercise is for the whole family. We got 1 minute. Do you have any other little tidbits you want to tell my listeners before we go?
Just be consistent. It's never too late to start. Just hang in there and be patient with yourself. And nutrition is very important more than anything else. Definitely make sure you have the proper nutrition.
Definitely. I'm so glad. Thank you, Jamal, for coming. And we're going to look forward to that video that's going to come out. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You take care. Well, we had Jamal Piper coming out here today. You heard him run into the studio talking about exercise is good for the whole family. Even the children use mainly, we said, cardio as well as body weight exercise. And for the seniors, there is no excuse to get out there and exercise. We need to do that to help with bone mass, muscle mass, and it also helps you with your cardio system, because the more muscle you build up, the more capillaries you need. So it helps that well for more oxygen getting to those muscles to thrive. So this is Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach of being fabulously fit in God's kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually, mentally, and physically fit. We got another guest coming up on Thursday. You got to tune in at 6:30. This has been very helpful about exercising for the whole family. I want to thank each and everyone out there. Thank you.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.